there have been signs there was going to be big changes. There was going to be essentially an electoral revolution for a couple of years. The BDP government was last elected in 2019 with quite a significant majority. But we've conducted surveys in 2022 and then earlier this year with Afrobarometer that showed very clearly that support for the ruling BDP had dropped substantially. That said, you know, nobody, ourselves included, really anticipated the scale of the defeat. And what we didn't really anticipate was how the electoral system in Botswana would work this time against the incumbent party. So the BDP, which has ruled Botswana since independence, won 30% of the vote. It won its share of the vote, wasn't that far behind the UDC, the Umbrella for Democratic Change, that's won the election. But the 30% of the vote that the BDP won converted into only 4 seats, whereas the 39% of the vote that the UDC won converted into 36 seats.
No, it certainly did. And 58 years on, they now out of power. What I find interesting is that the Botswana Democratic Party wasn't really a liberation movement in any sense of the definition of the word compared to your Frelimos, your ANCs, your SWAPOs, etc. So this is slightly different, isn't it?
It is very different. I mean, you're absolutely right. In Southern Africa, the BDP was unusual in that it had a completely peaceful, negotiated transition to independence in 1966. And the BDP was essentially a centre-right party. It was founded and led by Seretse Khama, who was essentially the most important traditional leader in Botswana. And it was able to draw on the legitimacy of chiefly authority in its early years. Very, very different to Frelimo, SWAPO, ANC, and so on. Right? But also, you know, the BDP was extraordinarily successful in managing economic growth, the mining revolution, using the revenues for mining to build infrastructure, healthcare. The economy of Botswana was quite possibly the fastest growing economy in the world in the 1970s and the 1980s. And unlike many other countries in Africa and elsewhere, the mining revenues were used pretty sensibly. I mean, there's been corruption, there's been problems, but much of that revenue converted into infrastructure, education, healthcare system, and so on. So for, you know, several generations of Botswana have really benefited from the country's economic growth. But in the last few years, the economy has faltered. Diamond prices are very low. Unemployment is very high, especially amongst graduates. And prices are high. There's food shortages because of restrictions on importing some food. So the economic crisis has really hit people hard. And the BDP has paid a price at the ballot box as a result.
There seems to be a subplot to this being indicated by certain commentators saying that the former Premier Ian Khama, the son of Seretse Khama, actually regretted his idea, his notion of allowing the current president, who is no longer the current president, Masisi, if I got his name correctly,
correct,
that he was chosen by Ian Khama and he only flattered to deceive. In other words, he disappointed, and Ian Khama is now quite angry at what he did. Is there any truth in that?
That is absolutely right. So Ian Khama stepped down as president after 10 years in 2018, handed over power to his vice president, who he had essentially selected, Masisi. And Masisi won the 2019 election. When Ian Khama stepped down in 2018, he was pretty unpopular in large parts of the country because he himself had been pretty autocratic as president. And in 2019, Masisi was able to play on that by saying he represented change. He was able to win the 2019 election, right, on the basis of votes, particularly in the urban areas, of people who were unhappy with Khama. But subsequent to 2019, the conflict between Masisi and Khama escalated. Khama fled into exile to avoid legal persecution, harassment. Right? When he came back early this year, he was able to represent himself now as being the victim of Masisi rather than the problem. right? And many of the voters who had swung behind Masisi in 2019 have abandoned him now. So Khama came back, pursued an extraordinary energetic and aggressive campaign against Masisi, which really undermined the BDP support in areas where historically it had been very strong. So Masisi lost support in the urban areas that he'd picked up in 2019, and he lost support in the rural areas, especially in what used to be Central District, where Khama still had a lot of influence.
So at the end of the proverbial day, Botswana faces, it's a political cliche, I know, but something of a new dawn, doesn't it, with lots of expectations, and expectations always reside in the youth.
Well, that's exactly right. The new government, the Umbrella for Democratic Change government, headed by the new president, Duma Boko, they've got to face some serious challenges because the economy is not looking good right now. The government has a fiscal crisis. They simply don't have the resources to fulfill their promises, which many of which require increased public expenditure. So you know, the government's going to have a real problem ahead of it. Also, it's facing a rejuvenated opposition. The main opposition party now is not the outgoing government, the BDP. The main opposition party now is the Botswana Congress Party, which was a smaller opposition party in the last parliament and is now a much stronger opposition party. The Botswana Congress Party has got very talented MPs. They're going to make life quite difficult for the UDC. They're going to be looking to oust the UDC in 5 years' time if the UDC doesn't actually deliver. So the pressure's on, and it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, that certainly is what they say in the classics. Pressure is on. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Professor Jeremy Seekings, Professor of Political Studies and Sociology at UCT. Thanks for chatting to us about the Botswana elections. Been a pleasure.
Yep. Thanks, Shafiq. Cheers.